141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. As the domestic season in Scotland comes to an end, Celtic make it a double with a Scottish Cup final win against Rangers at Hampden. Philippe Clement's feeling hard done by after his side had a goal chopped off, but attention now turns to what comes next. And Ross County stay in the top flight after a convincing playoff win against Raith Rovers. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Kenny Miller and Roger Hannah.
And Gordon, we're slightly late because of Taylor Swift, but there's no bad blood. We'll shake it off at the start of what we don't want to be a cruel summer. We don't have any time for anti-heroes. This is the love story of Scottish football, and it's just a fortnight to the Euros.
Outed himself as a big Taylor Swift fan. Incredible.
And you know anyway, how impressive that was, that he's just wrote that down in the last couple of minutes.
Good on him.
Incredible. That's why he's one of the top, one of the best in the business.
Enough about that though. More than enough about that. That's it. That's another season in Scottish football over, Kenny Miller.
It sure is. And all eyes turn to the Euros. Also, what's actually going to be happening in the summer with the two big teams in Glasgow. Who's going to be coming in? Who's going to be going out? I would imagine there'll be a lot more comings and goings at Ibrox than there would be at Celtic Park. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting summer, even though the season is done with.
0141 951 1025, that is the number you need. So do get in touch and let us know what you're thinking. The Scottish Cup final review, right here and right now. Get all your thoughts over to us on the number or on Twitter at ClydeSSB. Of course, for the next couple of weeks we're going to be here. We often scale the show back to a 1 hour show with one pundit, but no, full steam ahead from now until the Euros. So plenty to be said about what comes next over the summer, who signs who, what the rebuild at various clubs look like. So we can get into all that, I'm sure. But right now, let's look back on that Scottish Cup final. It wasn't a classic in terms of a football match. It won't live long in the memory, Roger Hannah, but a double for Celtic, certainly a successful season over the piece. And for Rangers, I suppose a summer of trying to bridge that success gap.
Yeah, they'll have a big job, Philippe Clement, in his hands to bridge that gap. He started it today. I think Leon Balogun's got a new 1 year deal. I would expect the guys who are leaving the club to be announced in the next few days. Yefti is already in. Mohamed Diamandi's deal will be done. Interesting to see if Oscar Cortez's deal is done. Interesting to see if Jose Cordoba leads a number of players coming into the club. What the Rangers do with Abdallah Sima, who made a difference, I thought, in the second half at Hampden at the weekend. Can they push the boat out to keep him on a permanent basis? But a big, big summer and a big start to next season for Philippe Clement.
Let's look back first though, because we've not properly reviewed the Scottish Cup final. So let's do it with Paul, who's a Rangers fan. How are you, Paul?
Gordon, how are you? Kenny and panel. I was at the game on Saturday, Gordon. I tried to phone in after it. Before that corner was taken, I said to my pal, something's going to happen in this corner. The amount of Celtic players that was covering the Rangers defenders, Dick Wall stopped the game and separated them. Greg Taylor pushes Maskin and then tries to pull him back, causing him to touch Joe Hart. And then the two Rangers players in front of Hart are getting bear-hugged and cuddled, but they disallow the goal. How is Varno looking right back instead of just looking over the water? Nick Walsh is an absolute shocker. Even the push on Sterling in the first half, blatant push, no looked at it. But as soon as he's a Rangers player, he ever cares about the bolts and away to Var. He can't beat 12 right. Gordon, it's ridiculous. It's happened every game this year for the Old Firm. It's been Var or something else that's caused us to be defeated. What team of day?
Well, straight into the deep end. What do you think?
You know, ultimately, I think it was the right call. I do. I think Raskin,
you've just broken Paul's heart.
I have, you know, and the reason is that you just can't do that with VAR now. You know,
when the goalie's up.
The goalie's up there, and you can see Nico Raskin's making his moves to try and get to a position that he can maybe affect Joe Hart, whether it's just be putting his body in. But there's one thing for sure, you can't put two hands on the back of the goalkeeper when he's going up. I mean, goalkeepers are a protected species, you know, so when anyone goes anywhere near them, you need to make sure it's going to be, there's not going to be arms up in front of their face, there's not going to be kind of body contact. You can only go up and In fact, you actually can't even go challenge goalkeepers in any contact happening. So when you put two hands in Joe Hart's back, and you can see it does propel him forward. I don't think it propelled him as far forward as what he ended up past the front post, right enough. But it was just never going to be given because it completely affected that ball going in the back of the net. There's no doubt about it.
Take Paul's point, Roger, because there is a lot of arms up, and that's always going to be the case at corners. People are always going to sort of jostle and whatever. And it must be difficult for referees to sort of boil that all down to, yeah, okay, but what's a foul and what's not? Because you're allowed to put your arm up and you're allowed to touch people, and you'll get away with a short hold or whatever. But
yeah,
I don't know what your take on it was.
What's the phrase we've used a few times this season, Gordon? Not every contact is a foul. But I think Nico Raskan was probably naive if he thought he was going to get away with that degree of contact on Joe Hart.
So you don't think he was fouled by Greg Taylor? That's what Paul's trying to say.
Listen, that is the... You know, when does a foul become a foul? You know, there was jostling in the next time the ball was in the box between Carter Vickers and Seymour, but probably not a foul, the way things are gauged. So on a Monday like this, you'd love a referee to come in and just explain to us all, you know, when does a foul become a foul?
But I don't think, I would take much explanation. You wouldn't need to agree with it. Paul can disagree with it all he likes, but you can see exactly how and why the decision's been made.
We're looking at it. We know it's a foul. When you see it again, Raskan has shoved Hart. Now, there's contact between Taylor and Raskan, but I don't think at all you're going to get a penalty
That's what I was going to say, Paul. I think, you know, you're right in the terms of there's a lot going on. So Greg Taylor has arms near or on or whatever Nicholas Raskan, but do you seriously think what Greg Taylor does to Nicholas Raskan would be enough to get Rangers a penalty?
Gordon, if you look it back, Greg Taylor pushes Raskin, and when somebody pushes his point forward, then Greg Taylor bodily pulls him back. Not even with just that, the two in front of Joe Hart, is that not a penalty as well?
I guess would be the answer.
I think it needs to be relevant, you know, it needs to be involved in some type of situation, and I don't think it was enough. I think that the Joe Hart one is clear as day. That ball's going right on top of him. Had he not been punched, he's probably going to make contact with that ball and maybe punch it away, and the fact is it ends up in the back of the net. There is a lot going on, and where I do agree with Paul to an extent is Rangers have been unlucky over the course of the Old Firm games this season with the VAR calls, the disallowed goals. Again, right back to the first one, although months ago, it seems like a lifetime ago when Dessers robs the ball and goes through and puts it on a plate for a teammate. Obviously, the goal that would have made it 2-2 at the Ibrox so quickly after scoring in the penalty with James Tavernier to get back into the game, again, ruled out. Again, probably rightly so. The sending offs, all the things that have came up. There's been on the receiving end of a lot of calls this year, and I can understand why Paul and other Rangers fans are frustrated. Ultimately, they probably might have been the right ones, but when you're on the receiving end of four or five of those big calls in those games, you can probably feel a little bit hard done by.
Anything on the actual game itself, Paul? Is that it? Was that the deciding factor? Were you robbed?
No, I guess it was the first half. Again, taking a touch. I don't know why we're not bringing Kenny Miller or Adam McCoyston to work with Dessers, because see that taking a touch, how do you not just strike the ball? And I mean, Rangers were a better team the whole game, and we stopped Celtic playing. What gets players to come out and say, well, Celtic were rubbish, we're after a game. Well, Rangers stopped Celtic playing. Another one with Cantwell as well. I mean, that's my fault. Cantwell doesn't do running. Just talking about and then trying to be fancy and getting involved again. I mean, but Clement won't accept that. He's already told them about this. So I don't know the outcome's going to be with Cantwell and Clement, because I think he gave them a warning at the start of the season. Starting again seems to be for him game. He dropped him the last one, started him again, he's getting involved again. Stuff we don't need to see. There's families here, there's kids here. You're trying to be passionate about your team. If you're trying to be passionate about your team, Todd, get them put in. Stop trying to be fancy and play the game. That's all we ask. I mean, we've paid £175 to get a ticket to watch it. We basically to get robbed. So James Forrest's tackle in the second half was worse than the
Limstrom's at Parkhead. Pardon the check that. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't though, was it? This is the difficulty, because I know it's all about opinions and people see things differently.
Paul's made a mistake there. It was nothing like the Limstrom tackle.
It really wasn't. And Kenny's not the guy to ask about this anyway, as we've established.
Well, indeed. But if Paul wants to make a valid point, I thought Forrest tackle, fine, but it was the same as the Dujon Sterling tackle.
Yes.
Which was penalised for and got a yellow card.
And there were inconsistent moments in the game.
There were inconsistent moments in the game.
Let's not compare that tackle.
No, I don't think you could. I definitely don't think you can compare the two of those.
Even you, for all the issues you've had with that challenge, yep, I'm sure would concede those two were not the same.
They were not the same. I think James, unlike him, was out of control, but there was no contact. You know, so there was no real contact. Yep. So if he had been given a red card for that, I would have been saying the exact same thing as I was saying before, even more so for that, you know, so no.
Thank you, Paul. The guy's not having it, but that doesn't mean to say you can't win them round before the end of the show.
I might be having his points about Dessers and Cantwell.
01419511025. Good time to call. We'll get your next. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Roger Hanna and Kenny Miller are here looking back on the Scottish Cup final. Let's find out what Graham made of it as a Rangers fan. Graham, how do you look back on it?
Disappointed, mate. But I think what happened on Saturday summed up our whole season. Our best player, one mistake all season, and that, what can you do about that? We've had injuries to. We've went with our third choice striker all year, nearly. We've got our fourth choice centre half. Got wee Ridvan playing no fit. Dujon Sterling wasn't fit. They had to play, and the way they lost the goal, Scott Wright, mate, what are you doing? I think it's just summed up with full season. We've been unlucky, we've not been great, but we've had a lot of bad luck.
Yeah, let's analyse the goal. That's what Graham alludes to straight away. Best player this season, Jack Butland. How much better should he have done?
Well, listen, I think the goal, when he's made a good point about Scotty Wright as well. Rangers actually found herself in a really, really good situation prior to, it was Diamandi played a really good pass through and it's Scott Wright. Took six players, well, Adam Eda was well out, but they took five players of Celtic's out of the game. Had he got that under control, he would have been now driving at the Celtic backline the way Paolo Bernardo was running at the Rangers backline. Miscontrols it, and within two, three passes, you've got Bernardo now bearing down on your goal. And, you know, I mean Graham's just summed up perfectly. You've got your player of the season, nominee for the player's player of the season in the entire league. Barely put a foot wrong, if he has put a foot wrong, and he just tries to read the situation. The ball moves and comes back against them. He makes actually a decent enough save on it, but he's out of position. He spills it, and then it's been the decisive moment in a cup final, 89 in the 90th minute. Very, very little time for Rangers to respond. And as we know, any time you lose a goal, particularly in a cup final at that stage, absolute deflation to the Rangers players. I was gutted for Jack Butland, I really was, because he's had a wonderful season. He didn't deserve to finish off like that. And what he will be doing now is what anybody who loses these cup finals, now that he's made that mistake and it's cost his team, he'll be dwelling over that over the summer now. He'll not be able to wait to get back and get back to work.
Because there was very little goalmouth action, really, Roger. And even, you know, the small number of shots that we did have on target over the piece, not many of them were meaningful, not many of them required real saves from the goalkeeper. So it was that one big moment when it came along. But as Kenny says, is it unfair to focus solely on Jack Butland? Does it go back to Scott Wright's bad touch? Yeah. Is Nicholas Raskin just too tired by that point to do anything meaningful on Paolo Bernardo?
It's a calamity in many parts. Scott Wright should take the ball from Diamandi, doesn't. Give Celtic the initiative. Raskin is spent. He can't keep up with Bernardo.
Sorry to interrupt, Zorro. Diamandi charges out to McGregor in a 30-yard dash rather than just staying next to Raskin, and it would have made it even tighter and harder. You know, there's a catalogue error.
Somebody should come and block Bernardo. And good season though he has had, that's a howler from Jack Butland. Balls move in the air. That's, goalkeepers know that. The good goalkeepers get it out there, and he didn't get it out of there. And shortlisted for Player of the Year, all the Rangers Player of the Year awards. Unfortunately, Jack will be remembered for that mistake at the end, cruel though it is.
Graham, you're pointing to, you know, some of the injury issues and personnel issues and so on. Does that soften the blow then for you, the fact that you couldn't add to that League Cup win? Or, you know, once the dust settles, is it all just another sort of disappointing season overall?
It's been hard to take that in the dropping form, but I think when you look at the bigger picture, I think we've done okay. we weren't expecting it to do much. We go to the League Cup, we tail off the league, I don't know what happened there, and Saturday. I think Bad Luck played up, and I'm looking forward to next season. I think the boy knows what he's doing. His only mistake he made was no signing a striker in January. I think if he signed a striker, you're not going to win nothing with Dessers, mate. It's just, but I'm looking forward to it. I even gave my ticket up because I thought I was a jinx on Saturday. I didn't go. I thought I was a jinx because every time I go, they get battered. So I said, I'll not go, and they'll win. Nearly came off, so I was quite.
Well, you can get yourself back there, Graham, next year. You're not a jinx, all right?
That's not your fault, Graham.
I've renewed my ticket, Kenny. They bother, but I was just pretty everyone, didn't you?
Kenny, I don't know. I'm sure we'll probably get more of this type of thought from the Rangers fans. We are clearly not a lot within that game, particularly the weekend. It was maybe the closest of them all. But you can make a case for the draw, clearly. But you know, they all just add up, don't they? Yep. It's another game that was lost. How many times can you say, there's not a lot between these sides on the day?
No, I don't think you can, and I don't think you can allow performances in certain scorelines to paper over the cracks and give you a kind of false narrative of where you're actually at. Rangers need to improve. There's no getting away from that. They will improve over the course of the summer. They will make signings. I've had no doubt for months now that Philippe Clement knows exactly what needs to be done with this team in the summer. But there's nothing he could do about it until the summer. So he's had to try and milk the absolute maximum out of the players that he's had. And you know what? For long spells he did. He got the team performing by not only just winning games and getting themselves back into a title race. The team were actually playing well. They were playing with real belief and real confidence, which is why at this point, sitting on the show numerous times, we're talking about Rangers being title favourites. That result against Motherwell was that came with 10 games to go. Rangers at that moment dropped 15 points out of 30 with 10 games to go. You're not going to go on and win any league when you drop that amount of points at that time. And I just think the team kind of lost a bit of confidence for that. They then followed Ross County, obviously. They then followed Dundee. Then, again, the draw at Ibrox, which was kind of celebrated a little bit. But even that was it's more drop points. So Philippe Clement will know what's coming in the summer, and he'll have already been working on it. Obviously, there's already a sign in the building. There's a new contract being signed by a player as well. So the rebuild has started, and that's what it needs to be, which is unfortunate we're saying these words again like we were last season, but there's going to be a lot of change at Ibrox. Those performances, and that was the closest Old Firm game of the season, there's no doubt about it. What Rangers done was what they've needed to do, because it's how they needed to make that game to give themselves the best possible chance of winning. And in the second half, like most second halves of the Old Firms this season, Rangers were kind of the team maybe pushing. They've kind of weathered a bit of a storm, and now they've came pushing and been stronger in the second half. And they've just been undone by that. It's a mistake made and a mistake punished.
Thank you, Graham. Let's bring in Pascal, who's on the phone. How are you?
How are you?
All good here. What are you thinking then? What did you take away from Saturday?
I think it was an even game. I think Celtic had the first half, most of the control. Even in the second half, as much as points were uncomfortable, I don't think it was massively uncomfortable, because we know we've got Rangers' number this season. But the main issue I keep taking, I keep hearing callers and I keep hearing people saying that Rangers were the better team. Can you really be the better side in a game where you only get 36% of the ball?
I have to say, each to their own. Having watched it up there as a neutral and taking it all in with the bird's eye view at hand, and argue amongst yourselves if you think who was the best team, because it wasn't a game worth worrying about.
I'm not sure
who was the best team.
I'm not sure
That's what I mean.
Better team.
That's what I mean.
And the hardest job in the stadium on Saturday was picking a man of the match, because really, you know, you compare and contrast it to the last Old Firm Scottish Cup final in 2002, 3-2 to Rangers. Hartson, Larson, Sutton on one side, De Boer, Lovenkranz, Caniggia on the other side. This was a poor imitation of that. If people think Rangers were getting closer to Celtic, I would suggest on Saturday it's because Celtic regressed and came back to the level that Rangers have been playing. Rangers have a big, big summer. Since Philippe Clement's come in, they've lost three times to Celtic. They've drawn once, and they need a 95th minute equaliser to draw that once. At the start of next season, he's got two rounds of Champions League qualifiers and a trip to Celtic Park at the start of the campaign. He will need an awful lot of players, and the players that come into the building, as well as being superior in quality to the ones currently in the building, they will also need the belief that they can beat Celtic, because the current Rangers team doesn't have that belief.
Yeah, like Kenny, it wasn't. If I think Philippe Clement said, you know, he felt his side were better. I just don't think it's hugely important. We always do this after the game. It just felt like, and you were there as well, like, you know, one goal was going to win it. Didn't really matter which side it came for. It was neither going to be totally deserved, and it was never going to be a, you know, a huge injustice whichever team went on and won it. This wasn't enough in the game. Let's not pretend otherwise.
No, it wasn't. There was not a lot of quality, like you've said. I mean, I'm looking at the stats there just to kind of see if Pascal's were correct there, and he was not far off it, you know. So Celtic, both teams had their moments, you know, in terms of time where they had a little bit of control and they had a little bit more assertive pressure towards opposition goal. But in terms of quality to create opportunities, it was very, very little. Like you say, Gon, the shots on target, they were barely making the goal. I think I seen three of them when I watched it back.
Officially, it's four each, isn't it? Shots, which is on incredible. Target, but none of them. I question
any caller to hit me with the four shots on target for each of the teams, because there was very little. So, it was always going to be a mistake, a moment of brilliance potentially for a team move, or someone producing an individual moment of brilliance to win that game. As it turned out, that individual moment of brilliance never came. It was a mistake at the end, and it was just never gave Rangers any time to come back from. But like you say, there was nothing in the game. Someone is always going to win, obviously, but like you say, nobody probably, I wouldn't say any team was better than the other. Were they better in certain moments in the game? I think both teams, yeah, they had their moments.
What else did you take away from it, Pascal?
Also, I've got two more points just quickly.
Go for it.
I've got the wee one coming soon. No one seems to be mentioning the Balogun moment in the first half, that it was through the back of Kyogo when there's a cross into the box very early in the first half, which, had it been given as a penalty, may have been a red card incident. Also, the second point would have been with the David handball. It's much, much more blatant. I mean, the handball rule now is draconian and completely inconsistent, but I think, with comparison to the latter one that we conceded at Tynecastle and the Bernabeu one that we produced where the arm was behind the back and he wasn't even looking, that's a stonewall penalty by comparison.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't compare anything to the latter one, because I think everybody accepts that's a mistake. So if we can't then have every single one being a mistake thereafter. However, Pascal's possibly onto something, Roger. So I was interested to see Bobby Madden did a sort of explainer on this decision, where he said, you know, that can't be a penalty. Kyogo's close and the arm's not in a totally unnatural position. I think everybody, Roger, would agree, that's fine. Well, let's make sure that's followed all the time. It's the most annoying phrase in football. We've seen them given, that Ben Davies. We've seen many of them given this season. So it just depends. Do we feel like the Scottish football need to decide, where is our bar? Where is our bar of intervention on a handball?
First point, Pascal, no to Balogun and Kyogo. Didn't think that was a penalty or a red card.
Well, it wouldn't have been a red either, because it's a genuine attempt to get
you
the
might
ball,
have something. I mean, you listen to the show. You know, we're as baffled as you are about the inconsistencies and the application of the handball rule. However, SFA have a new head of referee operations coming in. You might have heard of a man goes by the name of William Collum. So I would imagine, over the summer, Mr. Collum will be speaking to his former colleagues, or his colleagues, I suppose they still are, and giving them the directive for where the bar is set on handballs next season. And I would hope there would be a far more consistent application of the handball rule in Scottish football next season.
I do think everyone eventually could get on board with that, Kenny. See if people say, look, come on, let's calm down here. Kyogo's right in front of him. He headers it. Davies is just sort of standing there. We're not giving them as penalties. I think eventually everyone would be okay with that, but you can totally understand why Pascal and others have got a long list of ones like that, and maybe even not as bad as that, that have been given this season.
When I seen that live, I immediately was concerned, because I was sitting watching it, and then as soon as I seen it live, I thought, oh, here we go. And I've turned around to look at it on the TV screen to see the replay, and I thought, right, okay, that could be given. You know, I don't think it's a penalty. I really don't. And I don't think anybody really knows what is a penalty now, because there's been so many inconsistencies with situations almost identical to that situation. But for me, it's not a penalty. But I was not confident at all that Nick Walsh wasn't going to get the call and going to look at that on the screen.
Based on what we've seen this season,
absolutely,
many times.
Yeah. Absolutely. So it could have been given, like you said, we've seen them given. I think the right call was made.
Thank you very much. 01419511025. Before we take more of your calls, let me tell you about this. Clyde One. Win.
quarter of £1 million.
Are you ready to win life-changing cash? Just imagine what you could do with a quarter of £1 million. You could fund your team's use of VAR for a season, as an example, if you felt that was a good way of spending your money. I suspect not, though, given the way many of us feel about it. It is so simple to enter. One entry could net you that £250,000 if you text YES to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523. Calls charged at a standard rate. Over 18s only. All the rules for this network competition are on our website. Lines close 5pm on Friday, and there's no phrase, no amount to remember. You don't have to pick up within five rings. Just answer your phone and the £250,000 is yours. Text YES to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Kenny Miller are here on 0141 951 1025, or you can tweet at Clyde SSB, and we'd love to get your thoughts on that Scottish Cup final. We're going to hear from the managers as well, but let's do a call first. Actually, let's bring in Nadim, who's a Rangers fan. How are you, Nadim?
I'm good, signs, Gordon, yourself.
Yeah, all good, all good. How do you look back on it now? What are you thinking?
Disappointed. I didn't really have huge expectations before the game, if I'm honest. I thought I knew it'd be tight, but I was just a bit nervous about the whole thing. But yeah, I mean, the couple of points I want to make, the first one was about, I know we've touched on it already, around some of the refereeing decisions, but we're talking about consistency here, you know, about the push by Raskin on Hart. And then we've got two pushes, you know, by Celtic players, one on Raskin in the midfield, and the one on Sterling, the one that I want to talk about. You know, he's going down on goal, he's been pushed at the edge of the box, probably carrying on into the box. So if you can give the push on the Joe Hart situation, why is there no consistency in the free kick for the Sterling one as well? That's my first point. If you give me time, yeah, I'll maybe come back to my later point.
I must admit, Roger, I've yet to see anyone who doesn't think that was a push on Dujon Sterling.
Yeah, that was the main point Philip Clement made after the game at Hampden on Saturday, that he felt that was actually more of a foul than the one on Joe Hart.
Having said that, I also think it's fairly obvious the distinction of the VAR intervention is that it was outside the box, and therefore that's not to say it's not a mistake, but once you're not dealing with a penalty box incident, Nadim saying he felt it carried on in. Again,
but it's not going to be a penalty. You know, John Beaton, the VAR, can only look at it if it's you know, a prospective penalty decision. It was never going to be that. It was a mistake by Nick Walsh.
Yeah, Kenny, I'm absolutely certain you'll agree. We, myself, Mark Wilson, Gordon DL, were all amazed that wasn't given as a free kick. But thereafter, in terms of VAR intervention or whatever, it's just not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Like you say, VAR can look at the Raskin one because it leads to a goal. Yep. It's not going to look at the Liam Scales one on Sterling because it's outside the box and it would be a free kick. So there's no doubt it's a free kick, and this is where the consistency comes into it. Unfortunately, Nick Walsh never seen it or never seen enough of it to give the free kick. But it just comes down to that consistency, because when you put the two of them there, both have got two hands on the back of an opposing player, both should be free kicks. Unfortunately, again, for Rangers, one went against them and they never got the other one.
Dujon Sterling might be one who feels hard done by, Roger. I remember, again, Mark and Gordon, we all sort of felt a pretty harsh booking that he picked
up. Yeah, it's a ridiculous booking. You know, it's funny, actually, because a lot of the focus naturally, because it's led to a disallowed goal, a lot of the focus is on Nick Walsh's decision-making process at that incident. He gave the goal, was directed to the pitch side monitor, changed his mind. With the help of John Beaton, the VAR, Nick Walsh got that decision right. But there were decisions in the game that he got wrong. And because, you know, there were incidents that VAR isn't allowed to intervene with.
Which is a good thing, by
the way.
You're correct.
But
because we've got enough on our plate without having to revisit yellow cards and so on.
With the help of the VAR, I get the big decision right, but I thought he got other decisions wrong, and I thought there were inconsistencies in his performance.
But this is where the rules and like come into it. So forget VAR now, it's the rules. That is as clean a tackle as you'll see. It's clean a tackle.
But because there's a bit to see, like, is there more, like, you, or what's even the, you know, sometimes, because nowadays it's quite unforgiving with the follow through and so on, but it didn't even really feel like it was one of those.
Well, the follow through normally comes into play when it's a foot onto a leg, if you're kicking through, which again, by the way, you still can't change, or you can't stop that happening. But this was like more Dujon Sterling sliding through with the body and then making the contact. It was as clean a tackle as you'll see. And then, and this is where we're at with the rules and the laws of the game now, that when situations like this are given as not only a free kick, but then a booking, like that could be, if that happens, which will happen next year, these bookings could be accumulated. You could be missing big games, really important games. It could lead to a second yellow, which gets you sent off. That is never a yellow card and never a free kick. So that is one. Listen, did I have any bear on the game? No, never. But it could have.
Yeah, I think all in agreement on that one. Nadim, what was your other thought?
I suppose just for that, I come on to that going. I suppose the point I was trying to make was that the inconsistencies of it all, you know, in the fact that I suppose what VAR's done is highlighted. I'm not disputing the fact that Joe Hart wasn't a free kick. Of course it was a free kick, but I suppose the point I'm trying to make is, you know, as Roger just said there, the referee initially got that wrong, and it, you know, it went to VAR, and he's got other decisions wrong as well. So that's the kind of big bugbear of mine. My second point, I suppose, if you indulge me, was around the Rangers squad. You know, I know, you know, we've talked about, you know, it's like a big turnover and a big rebuild, and I'm sick of just having every season, every two seasons, or another rebuild at Rangers. We need to get some players in that are going to be good enough for the next 2, 3, you know, 4 years. So for me, players like Cantwell, I know Cantwell, a lot of Rangers fans love him. I when he first came in, I thought, yeah, he'd be a great signing. But for me, he's so inconsistent. Even in the cup final there, he did a few good things, and then when he gets subbed, he's shaking his head. Why are you shaking your head? You're not good enough. You weren't good enough. That's why you've been subbed, you know. So for him, get him out, you know, Lundstrom, Badger, those boys are going. But we do need some really good players to come in, 3 or 4 good top quality players. I just hope, you know, come on. I've absolute faith in him, but I just hope he gets it right and gets some really good quality players in the Ibrox, you know.
Well, they need it, Nadine, that's for sure. And they might need more than 4, by the way. But I agree with you. I think it's not even about they need better quality, no doubt. But for me, they need the right types as well. Types that are going to be able to come in and going to be able to stand up and be counted in the big moments. Not in the smaller games where you're maybe winning 3-1 or 2-1 and then you're starting to enjoy yourself and show your real qualities. You need to be showing them in the Old Firm games, the cup semi-finals, the European games, again, the cup finals like it was on Saturday. The bigger players, and again, I've got quite a few of the attacking players kind of written down here, because that's a massive area for me that needs to be improved, is the front area of the team, to create more goals. And I know Rangers have scored a lot of goals over the course, but they could have scored so much more. You know, that front line needs to be drastically improved in the summer. And there's no doubt Philippe Clement will know that. But it's in the big games and the big motion. These players, that's where you earn your money as a Rangers player. In these big games where you're making a difference or scoring goals, creating goals. Listen, work ethic and running about and showing you care, that's bog standard stuff. It's the quality and the big moments that you can deliver in those games to make a difference, to put trophies in the cabinet. That's what the Rangers players, the big players of the past, have done.
Thanks to Nadim. It's that time of the night already. Let's play. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. It's your chance to take on Roger Hanna or Kenny Miller and win yourself that signed ball. 0141 951 1025. Lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Kenny Miller are here. It's 0141 951 1025. We're looking back on the Scottish Cup final. It's one of those nights where you've got a decision to make. We can do the real micro stuff, arguing about over who was booked and who wasn't, or we can look big picture, cup wins, cup losses, what it means for the season, where teams go from here. How do we look back on the season, all the rest of it, on the phones or on Twitter? But let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Now, usually, in normal circumstances, this would be the final Beat the Pundit of the season.
Yeah.
This would be it. This would be the final 2-hour show of the season. It would be the final Beat the Pundit. And more importantly, to make it all about me, it would be my final night of the season before I disappear on school teacher length holidays to sit back and leave you lot to it. But you know, like that scene in is it Wolf of Wall Street? Not going anywhere. Yep. Something like that.
Yeah. Well, that's not true. You are. You're going to Munich to tuck in Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
But tomorrow I'll still be here for 2 hours, and the next day, and so on and so forth. So I don't really know when this season's Beat the Pundit comes to an end and when next season's begins. But anyway, that was a roundabout way of saying we're here for 2 hours pretty much all summer, or certainly until Scotland get knocked out slash win the Euros. So I look forward to many more of these, and it just means even longer for you two to try and defend those 100% records.
Even more tiebreakers for the producer to come up with.
And don't think that the pundits don't take it seriously, because as we were walking out here last week, Kenny Miller goes, so is that is Andy Halliday finished for the season now? Because he'll know of another chance to defend his 100% record. See, I can tell that you two take this seriously. But anyway, Dean's in Airdrie. How's it going, Dean?
How you doing, mate?
Good. You ever played before?
Have not, no.
Good, that's the way I like it. Look at this. Beat the Pundits, what feels like it's 62nd year, we're still getting people who've never played before. It's brilliant. Okay, here's the deal, Dean. We toss the coin. If it's heads, it will be Kenny Miller. Tails, it's Roger Hanna. And it is heads. Kenny is going to take on Dean. So what we do now is give Kenny some greatest hits radio to listen to, so he can't hear your answers. And after that, Dean, it's very simple. 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, and pass if you don't know the answer, okay? Right, your 30 seconds is on the clock, and your time starts now. Name any former Celtic or Rangers player who played in yesterday's English Championship playoff.
Stuart Armstrong.
Which club has new Aberdeen boss Jimmy Thielen left to join the Dons?
Elfs.
How many goals has Simon Murray scored in all competitions this season, 20 or 23?
20.
Which two teams meet in the Champions League final this Saturday?
Real Madrid and Bayern Munich.
Andy Graham is the manager of which SPFL side?
Pass.
Quite tough tonight. Let's bring in Kenny. Can you hear us, Kenny? Got us?
Yep.
Same set of questions. Quite tough, I think. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Name any former Celtic or Rangers player who played in yesterday's English Championship playoff.
Glenn Kamara.
Which club has new Aberdeen boss Jimmy Thielen left to join the Dons?
Elfsborg.
How many goals has Simon Murray scored in all competitions, 20 or 23?
20.
Which two teams meet in the Champions League final this Saturday?
Real Madrid Dortmund.
Andy Graham is the manager of which SPFL
Pass.
Side? Todd Cantwell joined Rangers from which club?
Norwich.
Who won Motherwell's Player of the Year?
Theo Bear.
From next season, who will be the longest serving manager in the Scottish Premiership?
Ooh, Derek McInnes.
Okay. What do you think, Dean?
Kenny's had his ear.
Oh, he's fast. Even in his old age, he gets through a few more questions. I did think some of them were quite tough, and you've made, I know you've made one error in particular that you'll kick yourself over.
Exactly.
Let's go through it. So name any former Celtic or Rangers player who played in yesterday's Championship playoff. And I feel for you, Dean, because Stuart Armstrong's like an educated guess, but it's wrong. He didn't play. Joe Aribo or Glenn Kamara were your choices. 1-0 Kenny Miller. Elfsborg though, you both got that. So it's 2-1 to Kenny. You both went 20, but it is 23 for Simon Murray, all competitions. He's had a brilliant season.
Brilliant season, yeah.
Really good, really, really good. Which two teams meet in the Champions League final this Saturday? Again, this is the one Dean knows. He said Bayern Munich. He knows it's Dortmund. Unfortunately, Kenny Miller kept his cool, went through on goal. He's 3-1 up. Andy Graham is Alloa manager. Todd Cantwell, Norwich. And this is where it gets away from you, Dean, because you were finished by this point. Theo Bear, Motherwell's Player of the Year, and Derek McInnes apparently pips Stephen Robinson by 49 days.
Yep.
There you go. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 1 in the end, I think. Oh, Dean, actually it felt closer. I don't know what I'm basing that on, but there we go. It's a tough school this on a Monday night. Thanks for taking part though.
No worries, Frank.
Good man. Cheers, there Dean. We are. And then on it goes.
Yep. Crack on. Happy. I'm having holiday tomorrow anyway. That's me done.
Are you?
No.
Oh, I was going to say. That worried me for trying to fill the pundit slot, since we're not going anywhere. It feels like we're going to stay on for forever. Kenny on -1 for next season?
No chance.
I think anybody who finishes 100% should be on -1. So Halliday and Miller, therefore, shall be in -1 next season. And if you're persisting with this Christopher Vermeersham nonsense, then I wouldn't be 100%, so I'd go back to nothing.
Yeah, okay, I'm not sure about that though, I have to say. Let's hear from some managers while you get your thoughts in. I know there's a temptation, and it's not wrong, of course, there are decisions you want to talk about, but we've not really spoke about like the actual final in terms of what the success means for Celtic and what the failure to win the game means for Rangers and the bigger picture stuff. We want to keep going on about yellow cards, we can do. It is your decision. I'm just trying to gently suggest that there are other angles out there. Let's hear from both managers then. We'll start with the victorious Brendan Rodgers, and this is what he had to say on securing that League and Cup double.
Well, so happy, obviously, to win another title was an amazing feeling, and really tense game, really tight game. But the will of the players and the desire of the players was immense, really. So, and to get that winning goal was a great feeling.
Oh, short and sweet. What about Philippe Clement then? This was his immediate reaction to the game.
Everybody was saying that we were the better team today. In that way, it's mixed feelings. You're disappointed because you do everything to win, and everybody worked really hard for that last weeks, last months for that. But I'm also proud about what the team has showed today.
Right, come on then. 0141 951 1025. That's the number you need to get in touch. And that, I suppose that the cup final, although we've said it wasn't a great game and whatever, fine, but that doesn't show in the history books, Roger. No. Hannah, I could not tell you how the 2004 final was as a football spectacle. I know people out there will be able to.
A better game, Celtic beat Dunfermline
at the end. Well, that wasn't a great game, actually. I think I remember that one.
Larson's last game, cheers.
At the end of the day, you try to win a cup and the other team then loses the cup. That's just what it's all about.
Yeah, that's what cup football is about. You just, you know, people remember the winners, they don't remember the runners-up, they don't remember the semi-finalists. It's about getting over the line and winning that competition. It doesn't matter whether you're Celtic in an Old Firm final, whether you're St Johnstone beating Hibs 1-0 in the final. You just need to get the job done. Celtic weren't fancy. It was probably as poorly as Celtic have played in any of the five Old Firm games this season, but they got over the line. There was mistakes made by both teams. As we say, not a cup final that will linger long in the memory, but Celtic winning it will linger forever on the history books.
It's another trophy in the cabinet, many of them in recent seasons. Michael, how do you feel about that? How happy were you to get that one over the line?
How are you doing? Are they?
Good, thank you, good.
Really happy. The way the season started, it was looking, you know, a wee bit kind of ropey, but came good in the end. That was the kind of point I was on to make. So obviously Rangers have done well to kind of go toe-to-toe with injuries and stuff like that they've had, but I think it's probably a wee bit underestimated. You know, Brendan Rodgers, the job that he had to do when he first came in. Obviously Ange Postecoglou was going out. The team that he had and the way he played, Brendan Rodgers basically had to start from scratch, change their philosophy, their way of thinking. That was kind of the main point I wanted to make.
Do you think, Michael, this day last year, we were in the studio on the Monday after Celtic had beaten Inverness to win the Scottish Cup, are Celtic a better team today than they were on the Monday after the last cup final?
Probably not. But
and what's required this summer to get them back to that level?
Definitely, I think obviously the board have got to kind of recognise, you know, exactly how lucky they are to have Brendan. Really, to be honest, I mean, when you think about it, he's an English Premier League level manager.
There's a vacancy at Leicester City tonight, Michael.
Steady. He's just sent me back a few years on this phone. And Kenny, look again, the kind of overall picture, it's taken us quite a while, quarter past seven, to get to just the simple fact that Celtic have won this. It's another trophy. It's another one for Brendan Rodgers. How should that be assessed overall?
I think any season, whether you're Rangers manager or Celtic manager and you got a league Scottish Cup double, that's a success. It's end of. What's happened over the last 5 or 6 years that a lot of Celtic fans think trebles is normal.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny, just that, no. It's incredible. It really is. But if you win the league and Scottish Cup, that is a successful season no matter what. Had Rangers won it and Rangers won the League Cup and Scottish Cup from where they were back in September, October time, when Philippe Clement came in. That would have been a success as well. You know, and I was glad because a lot of things on the forum last week, a lot of Celtic fans were kind of, oh, well, we've won the league and that's the most important thing. And because of all the riches that come along with this newly kind of structured Champions League, it means even more money. But Callum McGregor said that going to this game, that club's about winning multiple trophies, not just winning one out of three, it's about winning multiple. And the same applies to Rangers. So it was really, really important, I think, for Brendan that he did finish off with that one, you know, and he's done it. For all the calls that were at the start of the season about him coming back and saying it was a bad appointment and he shouldn't, that on this show, there was none of that in terms of, and me especially, that's an elite level manager. Roger just says it as well, it's a Premier League manager. It's a Premier League manager you've got, one of the best British managers about that has came back to Celtic. It was always going to be a good appointment, you know, and I think he even says himself, judge me in May. Well, he's getting judged now and it's a league Scottish Cup double. For me, that said, any season you deliver that as a Rangers Celtic manager, it's a successful season.
Because there might be a feeling, Roger, that with another season under his belt, with the awkwardness, as he's called it, of some fans not really sure if they wanted him back, with all that sort of done, there might be a feeling that Celtic have won a double and possibly can only get better next season, if that makes sense. Although I know we've seen quick declines, but
you talk about an awkwardness. I felt at times during the season there was an awkwardness inside the club as well as externally, Gordon. So I tend to agree. I'll be fascinated to see. Inevitably, a lot of the focus during the summer is going to be on what Rangers do, because I think there'll be more comings and goings from Rangers than there will be from Celtic. But the business that Celtic do will fascinate me. They need a new goalkeeper. You may have noticed Joe Hart's left the building. Do they sign Adam Eder? Scored the winner in the Scottish Cup final. Just scored at Ibrox off the bench as well. Do they sign Paolo Bernardo? Could he be the next Matt O'Reilly? Do they sell Matt O'Reilly if a suitable bid comes in? What happens at centre-back? What happens at left-back? Do they need another winger? Because James Forrest has emerged again in the last 6 weeks, but I don't think anyone would say, you know, James Forrest is a long-term answer to that problem. So what Brendan Rodgers does in the summer will be fascinating to see.
How successful a season was it, Michael? How did it feel to look back on? As Kenny says, you've been spoiled rotten with a number of trebles, but how does this one feel at the end of it?
I think it definitely feels like a success. When Postecoglou left, you're kind of wondering, you know, how do you bring somebody in that, you know, that matches that or betters it? It's a pretty impossible task somebody had to come in with. But as I say, when you take into consideration all the kind of off the field carry on that was going on through the season and the way Rodgers handled that, I think you need to look at it and say that it's a success. People roll their eyes when you say it, but genuinely, when Rodgers left, I thought you can't really blame him because, you know, he maybe had the frustration, you know, getting the money that he needed to bring in certain players that, you know, he wanted to make a team and the money wasn't quite there for him. So, you know, he comes back and it felt as if we were, you know, he was going to get the backing. That didn't really seem to happen for one reason or another. In the summer, then January, you're thinking, right, okay, well, you know, we'll do what we need to do, and it didn't really materialise again. So I kind of feel as if he's had one hand tied behind his back at times, and he's kind of pulled off. So hopefully that's where the board realise, you know, we need to spend a wee bit of money and kind of put the faith in him. Because if you don't, then, you know, who knows? It won't hang about forever unless he's at the back end of the club. But no, I think it's been a successful season. I'm happy with it and looking forward to next season.
I do often wonder if we overstate this stuff. I've said that before. But how beneficial do you think it was on a day like the weekend then to have a number of guys in the dugout and on the pitch that have just done this before so many times? Do you think that does it have the impact that we on the outside say that it does?
Listen, I think it definitely has an impact. You know, I think being a really, really good player and actually having done it in that game and in those games and in those moments, that also helps. I suppose that feeds into what the experience is. I mean, you've been through it before. I mean, you've played this team many times over the course of the season. Again, there was three wins and a draw going into that game against Rangers, if from a Celtic perspective. And you've got guys that have really, really affected and had real success in those games, like, say, McGregor's, Dale O'Reilly's, the Maeda's, Hitati's, Kyogo's, Carter Vickers. Again, I thought he was excellent on the day as well. So I just think going into it, I know it wasn't a great game. I was kind of hoping for a game like that from a Rangers perspective, give them the best possible chance of winning, you know. But when you've got a team fully serial winners who are used to winning, who are used to kind of dealing with these big moments and having success within them, of course it helps.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. It's an ideal time to call. We'll get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's that time of the night where you send a trivia question in and we try and get the pundits to come up with the answers between now and the end of the show. So let's do it.
The full-time teaser with Universal Interiors. Approved by Trust the Trader. Kick off your home improvement in style.
Now, I said that about 10 minutes ago. It wasn't just an attempt to get you to feel sorry for me, but the show is going to stay on. There is no summer break. There is no one-hour version with one pundit at the moment. We're going to keep cracking on right through till the Euros. What that does mean is we need even more of your full-time teasers. So get your thinking caps on, full-time at Clyde1.com. That's where you send the email to, just like Darren did tonight. And thank you to Darren, who wants you to name, I have to say, you two will eat this question alive, I suspect, but we'll give it a go. The last eight players who scored in a Celtic Rangers-Celtic game at all three Glasgow venues. So home, away and Hampden. So the last eight players to score in an Old Firm game at all three Glasgow venues.
Kyogo,
yes. Roger?
Morelos.
He has, you know, he got a lot of stick for his lack of goals in the fixture, but did manage it at all three.
Good question, I like that.
It's quite good, isn't it? I'm interested in your technique here. Are you going to, because you two are students of the game, are you going to try and specifically remember, or are you just going to throw out names of guys that probably did it?
Yeah,
I'm throwing out names.
I was just hoping for more methodical approach. Yeah. But okay.
Are we going back a few years?
He's not even giving you that clue. It's too early for that, isn't it?
To find eight players that did that, you'd have to think you were going back a bit, wouldn't you?
I'm on the list.
Yeah.
Yep.
Obviously. Ooh. Can we just start these questions like with the exception of Kenny Miller? Because he played for both. Played for Rangers, feels like 10 different spells over a long period of time, and he scored a decent number of goals. He's always in the mix. So Kenny Miller, Kyogo and Alfredo Morelos, we will leave it there. Although that gives you a wee clue sort of time wise, doesn't it? When we're going back, when would you have completed that then? Would you have completed that early?
That would have been Hampden 2016?
Right, so that was when the
2-2 game,
the trio, yep, was completed.
Yeah,
I suppose. Yeah, well, as we found out this year, not many Scottish Cup finals between the sides or anything in recent times. So there we go. A reminder, fulltime at Clyde1.com. That is the email address if you want to submit a question to be used on the show. And I really hope you would. Between now and the summer, we're going to keep plowing on with those questions. So let's have them. Let's hear more from Philippe Clement. He wasn't, I know we had a bit of debate about it earlier on, but he was refusing to blame goalkeeper Jack Butland for the defeat at the weekend.
No, I don't think so. It's a really difficult shot. And Jack was in the rest of the game really good. Yeah, you can always say details and he should have pushed the ball to the sides, but this ball was really going like that. So that's an unlucky moment.
You two were not quite having that earlier. I did just wonder if, you know, is there more movement in the ball than we're giving it credit for? Because it's beyond it. It's not your tip. I've seen it described as a spill. I'm not sure it is. A spill for me is one that you...
It's a save. He saves it with his hand, but he has to save it in a manner
because
he's already
like
moved.
Beyond. So yep. Why is that? Look, I'm trying to analyse it.
I'm going to channel my inner Roy Keane here. It's his job.
Oh, come on.
Goalkeepers...
You're better than
goalkeepers
that.
Goalkeepers are paid to get the ball out. That's what the good goalkeeper... Now, no, listen, Jack Butlin, quite correctly, has had an awful lot of praise this season. And Jack Butlin has deserved all the praise that he's got this season.
I'm wondering,
Rangers player,
I know this.
He's made a mistake.
I know it's a mistake. I'm trying to.
And I'm not having Philip Clement saying he played well during the game.
I didn't have anything to do other than that.
It's like saying Max Verstappen was really good for 99 laps, but he went off in the last.
But by the way, Jack Butlin will also be disappointed. He'll know.
Of course he
will. So that tells you everything you know. He'll be gutted that he's not done better with the shot. Yeah, he's moved early. The ball has moved big time in the air. And it's not a spill where it's right down his throat and he's spilled it. He's actually had to just outstretch his left arm to save it. And it's just went right in front of Adam Eder, who, by the way, was the one that was alive. It was the one that was on the move. And then he's just slotted that away.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. Is there anything in the reaction, or is it always easier when a striker's the one that's moving on to it?
See, when you look at the goal back, just before it, he actually darts across Leon Balogun and just takes him kind of yard that way, then peels away to try and maybe get a slide pass through. And as he's doing that, Bernardo's shooting. So he's already on the move, and he's moved Leon Balogun already. So he's always got, I'm going to say half a yard, he's probably got 2 yards on Leon before he could even react to it. So you always look at, can defenders react like strikers and get in there and follow up? I think in that moment, it was actually good movement for Adam Eder before it, and he just continued that movement forward momentum in it. And again, that's what you hope for, that does spill or it comes back to you and you've got to tap him.
What about Rob on the line then? How does that feel when it's all said and done now, Rob, that season? How was the weekend as a conclusion to it?
How you doing, guys? Good evening, how are we?
Good, thank you. Good.
Hi, good. Can you just to kind of go back to that point there about Eder's movement with Balogun? Mm-hmm. I think that's what incites Butlin in the lead up to Bernardo's strike. It's a wee bit of movement. I think it kind of unsettles Butlin. Maybe gets his eye line a wee bit, and that's why he doesn't get proper contact on it.
Maybe
I think Ben Davies, when Ben Davies, I don't think he really steps like he probably should step out to Bernardo to try and block it. But the fact that he holds his line and it's hit with that kind of, he's cutting across at Bernardo to get that kind of movement, it might have been a little bit inside. There's no doubt, I think, by Ben Davies' position, I think Jack Butlin thinks it can only go one side, because if it goes the other way, it's going to get blocked. So he kind of just moves. He's kind of reading where the shot's going to go. And it was going that way, but it did then swerve back. Like you say, behind him, and he had to outstretch that left arm to make the save. So there's no doubt, I think he would have been a little bit unsighted, but I think all goalkeepers kind of read the situations, and they do make their mind up pretty early where they're going to go based on what they're watching. And I think Jack Butlin felt that's only the only place, the only side that shot was going to go.
What do you think, Rob?
Aye, listen, Kenny's been there, I've done it, wore a t-shirt, you know what I mean? So aye, it's a good analysis of it. But in terms of this season, just to kind of go back to my original point, in terms of this season, I definitely think it's a season of fine margins. You know what I mean? I've read a lot about gulfs and teams and all this. I think that's a lot of nonsense, I've been 100% honest with you. There's been goals disallowed, there's been red cards, there's been penalties that have kind of decided, there's been goalkeeping misjudgments like on Saturday there, which have decided old firm games this season. Rangers have had injuries to key players. That's from obviously Celtic had their purple patch, and vice versa. When Celtic had their injuries, Rangers went ahead. So, do you know what I mean? It's definitely a season of fine margins. And I think both teams, you can shout for the rooftops you want, but I think both teams are very, very similar. And this is based on Rangers' so-called failed rebuild that they had at the start of the season. Celtic have kind of been in with a treble-winning squad, minus a couple of players. They brought in the kind of the messiah, who is Brendan Rodgers, the fixer, the master of all, and they've still struggled. And it's came down to a kind of fine line. It's came down to a fine line, a very, very fine margin between the teams. And that's my kind of synopsis of the season.
I can't really have that, because when the next season kicks off in August, it will be 3 years since Rangers beat Celtic in a meaningful game over 90 minutes. Now, that's not fine margins. That's a team that's not as good as the other team. And Rangers fans can come on and say it's fine margins, it's refereeing decisions, it's bad luck, it's injuries. Celtic took 10 points from 12 in the league this season. Rangers took 1 from 12. Celtic beat Rangers in the Scottish Cup final. Last season, Celtic did a treble. Rangers didn't win anything. The season before that, Celtic got 2 trophies under Postecoglou's first season. So it's not fine lines. Celtic have been better than Rangers. They won the league by 8 points. I know that there have been little moments in games where you've thought Rangers could do something, and time and again they haven't done something. And that is going to be the biggest part of Philip Clement's rebuild in the summer, getting players who go into these games with a belief that they can beat Celtic, because that's what it did. They'll drop points against some teams. You know, there was, you know, Rangers drop points at Ross County and Motherwell and Dundee. Celtic drop points at Kilmarnock a couple of times, and Hearts. They'll drop points against each other. They always have done, they always will do against other teams, I should say. But the head to heads, that's where Celtic are bossing it, and that's where Rangers' biggest problem lies.
I think, you know, truth is always in the middle. Kenny, Rob's probably right. If you go on that one given day, you look at the weekend, you say, it's fine margins. You go back to another game, fine margins. But then Roger's also right. How many times do you do that? Just as an example, let's say it was the exact same next season. Let's say it gets to 10 wins in a row for Celtic in the fixture, but every one of those games has been decided by a fine margin. Do you still just shrug your shoulders and say, ah, these fine margins are a rascal?
Yeah, well, listen, you're probably right. It probably is somewhere in the middle. But for me, I think the scorelines, not Saturday, because it was a real tight affair, the scorelines in the previous three, I think it flattered Rangers a little bit in terms of how the game is actually playing out. And I think that's why there'll be big changes in the summer. It's not just about... Rangers are going to have to, again, as Rob's right, another rebuild, and it was this talk about a rebuild last year, and the team have actually, probably for a spell when Philippe Clement came in, that kind of first 4 or 5 months probably were overperforming. You know, he got a real impact, he made a real impact on the players and on the team and the whole club actually as a whole when he came in, and it just fell down at the end of the season, whether it be through injuries or whether it be maybe kind of actually reverting to type and maybe no getting to the same levels. But the fine margins are there, obviously the decisions that Rob's talking about, yep. But I think in terms of the players that Celtic have and maybe the mentalities that they have, that's where Rangers, and Rob's right, that's where Roger's right. That's what needs to be addressed in the summer. It's not, yes, the better quality needs to come in, and the recruitment is always going to be key. And listen, managers live and die by recruitment, but they need to be getting the right types in. I said it right at the top of the show. Guys that when they're going to Celtic Park, they're actually thriving in that hostile environment. Guys like McGregor's who have done it, Barry Ferguson's who done it all the years ago, Steve Davis's, these types of players that have, they go in there and can actually take control. Because what, again, Rangers have kind of talked about, how do Rangers win this game against Celtic? The first thing everybody says, you need to stop McGregor. That's not what Rangers should be doing. They should be having a McGregor or someone better who can actually go and do that to Celtic. And that's been a big sign for me. Every single game, for the four games that Philippe Clement's, let's talk about stopping Celtic playing.
Rather, having your stop Maeda.
How do you stop McGregor? How do you stop O'Reilly? Who's going to deal with Kyogo's movement? That needs to be flipped. And it's not going to be easy. That's why the summer recruitment is going to be huge for Rangers. That they need to be getting the right types in, and actually players that can actually go in and control that game. Not just go in and give them a chance to win. Go in and actually control it the way the Celtic players have.
What do you think, Rob?
Again, my point was about this season. My point was, it wasn't about Postecoglou and all that. My point was about this season. And also, if we do want to go back a couple of years back, then people were saying as well, well, Celtic are going to have this and they're going to have that, and they're 60 million, blah, blah, blah. Rangers don't need 100 million to go and win the league after Celtic. Gerrard came in and done it. You know what I mean? Gerrard came in and done it on a shoestring. If you look at the money he spent, O'Reilly, what, 1.5 million? Hatate, that, what, 3 million? It's not about having the money. It's about having the recruitment team to go and find the players that will go. And it's not just about the players. As Kenny and that said, it's about the character. It's about finding characters, not just players that are going to come in and kind of... I mean, you might look at the boy Diomande. Diomande's come into Rangers. Again, they've got obligation to buy him. But there's character in there. You see him pointing at senior players. You see him kind of telling guys to go and do their job. He gets on the ball the first thing once a day, take responsibility. He wants to go and make a forward pass. He wants to go and make a difference in a game. He wants to get stuck in. He wants to win it back. He wants to go and he's a leader. There's too many Rangers guys who are happy kind of shrink. This guy grows. When we need 11 guys to come in the jersey, demand it and grow in the jersey. That's what Rangers need.
I think Rob's bang on to point out that money doesn't guarantee you anything, yeah. And teams just don't keep winning forever. We should remember that. Everybody knows Celtic were going for 10 in a row. Yeah. See, in the lead up to that, we were getting calls saying, forget 10, this could be 14, this could be 6. Yeah. And football just doesn't work that way. However, if we're going to use that Steven Gerrard one as an example, that then would also require Celtic to collapse spectacularly, like they did. Rangers were very good, and they did their part, but let's not pretend that Celtic didn't have their own issues. So in terms of what Kenny said, how do Rangers guarantee that happens?
Well, listen, you don't guarantee anything, but listen, things can turn around quickly. You've seen it happening umpteen times in Scottish football and beyond. I'll be fascinated to chart Rangers through the summer. Balogun's got a deal today. Jeffrey's in. Diamandi's going to sign a permanent deal. There's talk that Jose Cordoba will be next in for Rangers. I'll be fascinated to see the ones that go. You know, do Lundstrom and Barisic go, you would think? So what about Ryan Jack? Silva will go back to Wolves. Can Rangers keep Cortez and Sima? Can Rangers solve the injury problems that have bedeviled their season? So many players missing for such lengthy periods of time. That's bound to hurt you as well. But Philip Clement has a lot of work to do over the summer.
Kenny, that's why you mentioned it from a Celtic perspective. That's why the weekend was so important. And yes, maybe it did come down to fine margins, but that in particular is the cruelty of cup football. Two cups would have been fine for Rangers. That would have been, and we said it earlier in the weekend, that's a level of success. Is it as good as winning the league? No, but it's a level of success. If you can't win the league, but you come out with two cups. But now maybe the Rangers fans will be feeling a bit more down about it. I think the League Cup win seems like a long time ago, and Celtic obviously ended up with a fairly comfortable win in the league in the end. I know it didn't feel like that way all along.
I think it would have been a success had Rangers won the Scottish Cup. Again, you're coming up with a League Cup and a Scottish Cup double. You know, it's not the league, yep, we get that, but it still would have been a decent season. What Rangers actually also, for me, it would help Rangers building forward with a bit of continuity and stability, is can they get past October without sacking a manager? You know, it's happened a lot, or Steven Gerrard obviously left to go to Aston Villa. Giovanni comes in, he's sacked almost within a year. Michael Beale, same kind of scenarios. This is a big summer for Philip Clement to actually build his squad, you know, because that's what you need to do. You can't just keep chopping and changing squads in and out. This probably is going to happen in the summer, but Rangers need to start building, and it's up to the people within the building to actually go and make sure that they are signing the right types and they are getting the better quality and that they can go. Because right, Rob's right, there has been a lot of fine margins and a lot of things that have went or not went against you, and that can decide games. But over the course of a season, it's the best team comes out on top. You know, and I think when you've seen that game and the experiences that some of the Celtic players got, there's no doubt that helped them get over the line on Saturday.
Thank you to Rob. Very quickly on this teaser, who are the last eight players to score at Celtic Park, Ibrox and Hampden in this fixture? Kyogo, Morelos and Kenny Miller.
Tom Rogic.
Yes, Roger.
Tavernier.
No, we'll get the rest of the answers and we're going to speak to Martin, who's a Celtic fan, next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it, watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Martin's a Celtic fan and he's been waiting patiently, so we'll get to him in about 20 seconds. Very quickly, who are the last eight players who've scored in an Old Firm game at Celtic Park, Ibrox and Hampden? Kyogo, Morelos, Rogic, Miller.
Dembele?
No. Surprisingly, no.
Hey, Jota.
Also surprisingly, no.
McGregor.
Yes.
Forrest.
No. I feel like I can almost remember Jota doing it. It's worrying me that I'm going to need to launch a stewards inquiry. But anyway,
don't know if he scored at Ibrox.
Yeah, maybe not. No. Definitely get the header at Hampden.
Yeah.
Anyway, three to get. We'll get them before the end of the show. Ooh, I think maybe Dembele should be on this list actually. I'll look into it for you.
Wouldn't it be a teaser if I added one on the end?
But you've not got doubt, so we can leave off. It still becomes the eight, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, as long as I'm not falling off the list.
No, you're not falling off the list. Let's bring in Martin. How are you, Martin?
Good evening, gentlemen. How are we doing?
I'm good here. How do you look back on the cup win at the weekend then?
Happy bunny, to be honest with you. I think for the neutral, I dare say the whole last season, Scottish football was better than it has been beforehand. Now, as a Celtic fan, I don't want to bore you and I'll keep it short. Talking about our season now, Celtic are a treble-winning team. Let's be honest about it. That is our benchmark.
Is it though, Martin? Is that not unrealistic? Have you been spoiled in recent seasons?
Well, there's a reason why we're spoiled. We are the better team by far. That's just me just putting it out there now.
I know, but I know it's an easy, I know it's easy, but look at the weekend. Like, Man United beat Man City in the FA Cup. You just can't turn up and win every cup competition every season.
I do, absolutely correct. You're right. Sorry, apologies for being a little bit obtuse here just now. We actually allowed Rangers back into the title. Now, Rangers game, Saturday's game, you can talk about stats or Mr. Clement talking about his specific stats. He hasn't won a game against Celtic in the time he's been here. He actually talks about Celtic staff admitting that they were the better team. I personally think the guy's talking nonsense, to be honest with you. Now, at the start of the season, our board didn't back Brendan Rodgers. That's number one fault. I don't think we'll make that mistake again. I think we'll start bringing in decent players. We'll bring in, obviously, a decent goalkeeper. This is my wish list, to be honest with you. So,
go for it.
It's not a foregone conclusion. We'll bring in a decent centre-half, centre-back, to be honest with you, to partner. I think one of my colleagues on one of the podcasts said Scales is like a credit card that's been maxed out, to be honest with you. He did his bit, but that's basically about it. I think he's reached his level, to be honest with you. Going back on it, we're a treble winning side. We are the benchmark, to be honest with you, at the end of the day.
Interesting to see what happens in the summer. We said that earlier on. Celtic do need players. I didn't think the cup final was the performance of a treble winning team. Far from it. I thought Celtic were poor at the weekend, but they got over the line, and that's all that matters. They've won the double this season. We spoke to one of the callers earlier on, who I think it was Michael, who agreed that the team probably wasn't as good as the Postecoglou team that did win the treble the season before. It's easy to say Liam Scales is a credit card that's maxed out. Celtic have tried to replace Liam Scales to no great effect so far. Navrotsky sat on the bench again. Lagerby Elk hasn't been seen in weeks. That was a lot of money spent to try and replace Liam Scales. Liam Scales, it's not his fault he's still in the team.
Something I was going to say, actually, because Mark, and I don't want to necessarily reopen an entire argument that we've had all season that was from last summer, but the notion that the board did not back Brendan Rodgers at all, I don't know if that can be said without challenge.
The board
slightly
spent a lot of money.
If you look at, because even the ones that
the squad,
and I get Martin might say, yeah, but we want, you know, less players brought for bigger fees rather than more players for smaller fees. But still, you know, it's still a couple of million on Home. It's still a couple of million on Tilio.
Yeah, I mean,
more on Lagerbielka.
You do wonder, where was Home on Saturday? Where was Lagerbielka on Saturday? Where were Yang and Owen Friday night?
So it was just a small point to say. I don't know if you can point blank say he wasn't backed.
I think the point on that is, were they Brendan Rodgers signings? That's the thing. I'm expecting bigger signings to come in and better quality signings to come in from Celtic this summer. Brendan came in, were some of these deals already in the pipeline? Were some of them already done? There's definitely, again, they were kind of scrambling in the centre-back position when Navrotsky and Lagerbielka, and then they got Phillips as well, who came in and was sent back, barely kicked a ball. So, and that's why Scales is still on the team. But I expect Celtic to sign better this summer than what they did last summer, and definitely what they did in January.
And I take your point, because you asked the caller earlier, and now Martin's saying, you know, we're treble winning side, that's the benchmark. But, and I'm probably stating the obvious here, there is no team in world football, as much as fans would like it, you can't get better every season. You just can't do it. So I know why you asked the caller earlier, and you say, well, yeah, probably this season, this team wasn't as good as Ange Postecoglou's team. But you can't get better every season. Eventually you're going to take a wee knock. Somebody's form dips, a player leaves, your recruitment's not quite right. That doesn't mean that everything that follows after is then, like, you know, some sort of failure or some sort of disappointment.
No, absolutely. I actually think Celtic have done well this season. If you had said at the start of the season Celtic are going to be without Jota, they're going to be without Carl Starnfeld, they're not going to look as good at various parts of the season, some other players will leave, some will underachieve, some of the new signings won't hit the heights that people had hoped they would, but Celtic will still win a league and Scottish Cup double. I think that does look, and I know the point Martin's making, but I think winning a league and Scottish Cup double after the season that Celtic have had, I think that constitutes quite a big level of success.
Martin, does it give you hope then going forward?
Absolutely, to be honest with you. I was a big big fan of Brendan coming back. It was a shame that Ange Postecoglou had to leave, but I understand why he did. But Brendan's back here just now. We have to back him. We have to back him with decent money. We're going into the Champions League next year in a different format. We need to be prepared. We need to actually start doing things now, not kind of a 2 weeks in, 2 weeks before the Champions League starts. But in answer to your question, yes, I am. I'm looking forward to it.
Would you take Adam Eder, Martin, on a permanent deal?
Pardon?
Would you sign Adam Eder on a permanent deal?
Absolutely, 100%. Obviously, Kyogo, absolutely adore the guy, but he doesn't fit in really to Brendan Rodgers' play. Obviously, when Eder comes on, he changes it completely, and it's great to have someone coming off the bench, but does Eder want to stay here just to come off the bench? I don't know. We're talking about Bernardo as well. Bernardo turns up maybe 2-3 games a season, but he's not had a chance. Maybe if Matt O'Reilly leaves, does Bernardo come in and kind of take his place? That's a question we need to ask as well.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And by the way, we're here tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day and most of the summer, so there'll be loads of time to debate what comes next, who signs who and so on. But thank you to Martin for joining us tonight. Obviously, this is Glasgow in the West, and I knew the show would be dominated by the cup final. Just quickly a word, and it'll need to be a brief one, on the playoffs that concluded yesterday.
Yeah, more one-sided than I thought. Ross County deserved to stay up. Simon Murray, 23 goals this season, has been exceptional. Jan Danda has been exceptional. And good luck to Don Cowie. I think he'll get a job on a permanent basis now. And onwards and upwards. Apparently they're even staying in the Highlands.
Yeah, it's a strange move, I have to say. But the gap, Kenny, I wondered, did we just really see that in evidence? I know a lot said about the way the structure of the playoffs favours the Premiership team, and it does, but that, you know, it just felt like there was a bit of a gap that couldn't be bridged.
Yeah, there was, just the better quality, the better players. Again, the way even in the first game at Raith, the way Ross County attacked right from the start, took control of the game, obviously they got themselves 2-0 up, but it could have been more on that night as well. I mean, I expected them to stay up and stay up comfortably again. Did they expect them to win 4-0 yesterday? Probably not. But they've got the better quality. It's as simple as that.
It just kind of felt like guys like Simon Murray and Jan Danda weren't getting relegated. And I know that's easy with hindsight now, but...
And like saying your Nightingales and your guys at the back, they were absolutely excellent as well.
Right, can you name the last eight players to have scored at Celtic Park, Ibrox and Hampden in an Old Firm game? Kyogo, Morelos, McGregor, Rogic, Dembele is on because it's the last eight, sorry, and Kenny Miller, so you've got two to get.
Odson Edward?
Oh. Neither.
Mm-hmm. Scott Sinclair?
Yes. Then we're back to probably more.
Aidan McGeady?
He's ninth, I think. So there's one in between.
Right, we'll count him then. We'll go nine.
So probably again more your era. Or maybe the end, though.
Celtic player?
Celtic, yeah.
Ledley?
No, but again, that's definitely that era.
Chris Commons,
well done, Kenny Miller. Thank you, Roger and Kenny. This is usually the time of year, give you the big emotional farewell for the summer. We go down to 1 hour shows, but far from it. We are back as normal, 6 o'clock tomorrow. Mark Wilson, Gordon Dl, and you are a key part of it as always. So make sure you join us here at 6 o'clock and enjoy the rest of your night.